T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
The real issue is the continuing racism in this country. And it is chronic, and it is endemic, and it is institutional. And it speaks to a collective hypocrisy. We're very good in this country at telling other people how they should live their lives and how they should act. We preach a high standard, but we still discriminate on the basis of color of skin.
On WGR.
It is Governor Cuomo, some of his comments. We are talking about everything that happened over the weekend, locally, nationally, and you can share your voice to the discussion at 803-0550. You can text us. Again, now it's to the full number, 716-803-0550. Or you can call the toll-free number, 888-550-2550. And you have the Brian Flores statement you wanted to get to?
Sure. Yeah, I've got a couple of – I actually have some other NFL stuff for you, including an answer to the fourth and 15 that got shot down.
Yeah.
You know, I'll get that to you at the end of the
– Yeah, we're going to have actually Dean Blandino coming up at 8 o'clock this morning, Fox NFL rules analyst on that, and the Sky Judge and the video assist
sure.
and all the stuff they're doing.
Good. Brian Flores, his statement came out on Friday. I'm just scrolling down through my Twitter likes here. Yeah. It came out on 2 days ago, Friday, you sure? And he had a lengthy statement. I thought there was some pretty revealing things in here. I'll just start for – he talks about – the NFL's been through this before, right? We've done these shows before about systemic racism and police brutality in cases where Colin Kaepernick took a knee. We kind of did this. And Brian Flores issued a statement and said, this idea that players were kneeling – in support of social justice was something some people couldn't wrap their head around. Mm-hmm. The outrage that I saw in the media and the anger I felt in some of my own private conversations caused me to sever a few long-standing friendships. Most recently, I've had conversations about incentivizing teams for hiring minorities. Again, there was some outrage in the media and talks that this would cause division amongst coaches, executives, and ownership. I bring these situations up because I haven't seen the same outrage from people of influence when the conversation turns to Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and most recently George Floyd. Many people who broadcast their opinions on kneeling or on the hiring of minorities don't seem to have an opinion on the recent murders of these young black men and women. I think many of them quietly say that watching George Floyd plead for help is one of the more horrible things they've seen, but it's said amongst themselves where no one can hear. Broadcasting that opinion clearly is not important enough. I lead a group of young men who have the potential to make a real impact in this world. My message to them and anyone else who wants to listen is that honesty, transparency, and empathy can go a long way in bringing people together and making change. I hope that the tragedies of the last few weeks will open our hearts and minds to a better way of communicating and hopefully create that change.
Yeah, I think part of the issue that Brian Flores brings up, it's funny, he mentioned, okay, you know when I say it's funny, it's not ha-ha funny, obviously, but he brought up the Rooney Rule, the Kaepernick discussion, right, everybody had an opinion on that. That was, you know, that was a major hot burner issue. That was unbelievable for days after that. And the Rooney Rule was, too. The recent discussion about, you know, putting more teeth in the Rooney Rule and, what do you know, to you know, the number of black coaches, head coaches in the league and the number of black GMs. And everybody wrote a column about that. Everybody. You couldn't go to a sports website without seeing a column, a blog, something about the Rooney Rule. And now he's right. I mean, there are – Adam Silver, I guess, sent out a memo internally into the NBA, to NBA players and NBA personnel about what happened in Minneapolis and the riots over the weekend. I mean, I think I saw Nick Saban might have issued a statement over the weekend. It's not as prevalent in terms of the sports world, for sure. And you made a good point. If there were games going on, this would be coming up in post-game press conferences. There would be more reaction. There would be athletes, I think, and coaches speaking out about it. Steve Kerr just popped into my head. He's never had an issue speaking his mind when it comes to racism and the problems we are dealing with in this country. So maybe that's part of it, Jeremy, the fact that there are no sports. So maybe the sports world isn't as opinionated about it. But I think he's right from the standpoint of there aren't a lot of people, media, in sports who are writing columns about this, but everybody had an opinion about Kaepernick and everybody had an opinion about the Rooney Rule. And it's not as prevalent in terms of people writing pieces about this. News people are. Op-ed pieces are out there, but it's not necessarily coming from the sports media. And it's really, you know, I know Goodell issued a statement, but I would say there weren't really a lot of statements from NFL coaches or GMs, as far as I could tell, over the weekend.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure where else, you know, the leagues are going to go with this other than, you know, I don't think the NHL issued a statement. The NBA did. The NFL did.
The NHL did issue a statement.
Oh, good. Okay. Because I was going to see what are the major sports leagues saying about this.
The NHL did issue a statement. You've got stronger and stronger things. And, again, like, at some point you get to, does it mean anything for a brand, for a league to say anything? Does it mean anything for the NHL to issue that statement? And my answer to that, I mean, you know, I'm not the foremost authority on this at all, would be, I suppose it's better than not issuing
right,
a statement.
Right. I'm not sure if it makes a change, but it's better than not saying anything at all.
At least you declare what you know.
How you feel, right, right.
What you see as acceptable and unacceptable.
Yeah, some individual players. I know, you know, Evander Kane, I guess I saw like a clip from Evander Kane, some individual players, much less in the NHL than the NBA, as far as I could tell, are tweeting about it. But I think, I would think you, it does affect so many people that I guess as a professional sports league, you can't not say something about it. And I think that's what was one of the things that struck me over the weekend. The story elevated to the point where it was all, I don't follow news people on Twitter. I follow sports media. I follow teams. I follow broadcasters. I follow reporters. Now they weren't, as I said, they weren't like writing columns, but everybody was either tweeting or retweeting stories about what was going on around the country and the clips of the video. So I think if you're a league, Jeremy, I'm not sure how you could not issue some kind of statement and say something at this point. And I guess I'm surprised there aren't more from coaches and people around the league in the various cities saying things about this. You know, the NFL players issued a statement. J.C. Tretter, who's the president of the Players Association, issued a statement over the weekend.
And I mean, I don't know what happens or where it goes from here. I've been communicating a little bit with Matthew Collar. He and his wife, Sloan, they live in Minneapolis. She's been covering these things, covering the protests in Minneapolis. And, you know, we just kind of reached out and asked what it's like up there. And, yeah.
I texted him last night because, like, I knew Sloan was covering it, right? And so she's been on the air, and I just texted him just, hey, I hope you guys are safe. And Sloan was working, I want to say, is it WCCO, I think is the radio station she works at. Anyway, she was working, and I texted Matthew back. I said, is she safe? Like, she's working like a night shift, an overnight shift. Is she safe driving to and from work? And because I don't know what the heck is going on. You know, I can see certain things, but I have no idea the extent of what's happening in Minneapolis. And he texted back and said the radio station where she works was okay in terms of where they're located, but they actually moved everybody to a safer location so they wouldn't have any issues getting in and out of work. I mean, that's downright scary when you think, hey, can my wife drive to and from work okay last night? One of the things that happened here Saturday night, right, according to Mayor Brown, was that someone was pulled from a car and beaten. And I started flashing back to, like, you know, Rodney King and some of the stuff that was happening in Los Angeles at the time. And it's both scary and disturbing, but it circles right back to, if you don't find a solution to prevent these murders, these needless murders and deaths from happening, we're going to be right back in this boat again someday.
Mm-hmm. Dennis just sent along something to me that, you know, again, like, some teams have put out statements, other teams have not. Maybe some think that they are under the umbrella of the leagues or whatever, but
yeah.
There has been no statement from either of the sports teams in this town that I've seen.
Yeah, I don't either. But maybe they do think the league's handling it.
I mean, you've got the Niners owner spoke and put a statement with a name on it. The Colts owner statement with a name on it. Hmm. And anyway, the reason I bring this up is just Dennis sent this that Trey White tweeted yesterday. In times like this, you find out if they really love you for you or just what you do.
Yeah.
Open your eyes to those that have been ghosting these past days. And not that he didn't at anybody, but, you know, again, it gets to what are you supposed to do? Are you supposed to do it? Do you do it late? Do you better late than never? Do you, you know, even Michael Jordan, who was famously didn't make a lot of, make waves.
He wasn't a big political person when he played. Right. He wasn't that outspoken. In fact, I think
he is now.
I think wasn't there a clip in The Last Dance where he said basically, you know, yes. I'm not touching that or I'm not saying anything.
Yes.
I forget what the issue would have been at the time.
He's got a statement out though now.
Said he was pained and angry, and I didn't read the full statement from him, but I saw some of it.
I just it's just such a difficult issue and a difficult time, and we said in the first hour, if you want to talk about it and you want to join us, I mean, Howard and I don't profess to be even close to any expert on this. But, I mean, we care about it. I care about it a lot and would welcome anybody that wants to bring what? What's the word? The adjective.
Well,
I don't necessarily say good points, but
no. But if you
helpful,
want to just
whatever,
keep the discussion moving forward, so it reaches a point where there is productivity and something coming out of it. You know,
if you think back to the Kaepernick, the kneeling, and when players were kneeling, the NFL didn't want necessarily to help the situation; they wanted it to stop right away. Like, this has to stop. And there was a column from an executive that. Who was that executive? He wrote an op-ed for CNN, maybe?
Yeah, Joe Lockhart. He was in the Clinton White House. I want to say he was the press secretary for a short while, and then he worked in the NFL as a communications executive.
Okay, and he estimated that he told the story that the teams estimated if they had signed Kaepernick, they would have lost 20% of their season ticket base.
Right. It was bad for business, is what he wrote.
Bad for business. He wasn't out of the league because he wasn't a good enough quarterback. He most definitely was good enough to continue to have a job. And they estimated like 20% of their season ticket holders would leave. So it came down to, business, which, business over what's right, business over everything. You know, there's a lot of that. I lost my train of thought about this.
That's all right. I'm going to make a point while you try and get your train of thought back.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I'll
no problem.
It again.
On the Kaepernick thing, I was just scribbling some notes down. See, and that's part of so what came out of the Kaepernick situation? After the initial everybody's yelling and screaming about him kneeling down, now out of that, eventually the NFL pushed a little bit, but the NFL contributes hundreds of millions of dollars, right? They sat down, they met with the players, some players' representatives, and they said, okay, how can we help? What can we do? And there, I want to say, maybe some town halls came out of that. Specifically, I believe one was in Seattle. Was it Doug Baldwin? I think from the Seahawks was very outspoken, and there were, there was a glimpse there at the time of relationships between law enforcement and communities were a big discussion at that point. So town halls were held, and police would go out into different communities, different neighborhoods in their respective cities, and try and improve relationships with the citizens of their community. So there were some, I think there were some tangible positive things. Now, did it last? Did it make a difference? Like, I wonder, again, something happens, it creates an issue, there's a protest, and then there's a reaction. After Kaepernick, there were some positive reactions to that. There were some people who tried, okay, here's how we're going to improve in our particular community. Here's how we're going to improve the relationship between law enforcement and minorities in the community. Now, I don't know if it helped. I don't know if it made a difference. But I wonder about solutions, and I wonder if, something happens and we'll try a couple things. And then it just kind of goes away and it's quiet and nothing ever significantly changes. Was anything systemically changed post Kaepernick? And I say Kaepernick because he is identified, but you know what I'm saying with that? Was anything systemically changed in the country? Or were there just a handful of small things, but it just didn't make a larger difference? Like, what comes from it? Like, the issue comes up and we talk and then we need action. And what does anything significantly happen?
Well, that's thank you. You got me back to my train of thought, which was simply, once the protests end, does the cause stop?
Right.
Right? Like that,
and then it goes away till the next incident occurs.
Right, because we live in a time where, you know, we get distracted pretty quick.
Yes.
You know, something happens, and then it's gone in 2 days, and happens and gone in 2 days. And this has lasted, you know, a full week, of course, and I don't know when the end of the protests will be, but the end of the issues is far away.
Right.
And you just, anybody that wants protests to stop, like, of course, like, you don't want, again, violence or
destruction of property, sure, all
sure,
those
like,
things, right.
Like, no, right. But you just keep, you know, like, I don't know. It's just tough. Everything's I just want to say, like, everything's a mess. Everything's a mess. But it has been, and it's just, you know,
well,
brought
that's,
more to light.
That's why I think, I don't know how to say it. That's why there's a certain frustration, because I think there is an amount, there are people who want to make a change, and there are on both sides of this, I want to say on both, there is no second side of the discussion. Nobody's for racism. I mean, if you are, you're nuts. But there are people who want to make a change and who want to help, and it's frustrating for me because it just seems like the issue comes up, there's a focus on it for a weekend, a week, a month, and then it kind of goes away, and it's quiet for 6 months or a year, and then all of a sudden there's another murder somewhere, and then there's another protest, and we get back to talking about, you know, we need to make all these changes, and maybe there's a step or two, and then it just kind of goes away, and everybody forgets about what happened post-Kaepernick, and I don't know if things are better in Seattle between law enforcement and the local and the citizens of the various communities because of the town hall meeting they had 3 years ago, and I just, it's difficult because... Nobody, I don't think anybody has an easy answer, and it's frustrating because when you think maybe now, quote, people will get serious and we'll all sit down and the politicians and the law enforcement and the citizens and everybody will get together and there'll be a solution to make this a better country so we can all, you know, get along and people don't have to be worried about being in their cars and being pulled over and all these different things, and it just never goes anywhere. And then 2 years down the road, it happens all over again. And you sit at home and you worry. You know, you worry about, you know, maybe a friend who's living in a certain area that's at risk, or you worry about people you know who own businesses in downtown Buffalo or any of these things. And it's just, I don't know, just we go around in circles and nobody ever can get anything done. And I should be helping with a solution, but I don't. I'm not that smart. Because there's a part of me that still doesn't understand how someone could be raised with the notion that the color of the skin determines whether they're more important than you are.
Mm-hmm.
I was never raised that way, and I don't raise my son that way, and I just don't understand how anybody could live that life.
Yeah.
I was just reading the Austin Matthews tweet. I didn't realize his mom is from Mexico, so he tweeted about that. As a Latino American, it is impossible for me to understand and fathom what others endure. My thoughts and prayers go out to all those who have lost loved ones, who have endured pain and suffering due to hateful, racist attitudes and beliefs. The world must unite, not divide. We need to stand together in support of justice, love, and peace for all. We need change. Apparently, the Leafs issued a statement, too, among the NHL teams that issued statements about this. 13 teams joined the league, released statements yesterday. I'm reading this from PittsburghSports.com, addressing the protests. They include the Leafs, the Ducks, the Coyotes, Flames, Avalanche, Kings, Wild, Predators, Devils, Sharks, Knights, Caps, and the Seattle expansion franchise. So 13 out of 32?
So the team that doesn't exist
yet. The expansion team issued a statement.
Beat some of these other teams.
Yeah. So less than half the league's teams issued some kind of a statement apparently over the weekend, and some individual players.
Okay. I mean, like, it's hard to kind of get on a soapbox and talk about how it's important that your team releases a statement, but, you know, it shows a social consciousness.
Yeah. Well, it shows. I mean, I think that the teams care, and I hope they do. I wonder if is it they don't care, or they are worried about issuing a statement because it's a politically charged. It's such a charged issue, and they don't want to publicly be on the record. I don't know. I'm not sure. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. If you'd like to share your thoughts with us this morning, you can text us again. Text the full phone number now. You can no longer text 550-550. Wipe that out of your brain.
I think it still is working, but yeah.
Oh, at some point it will be. You won't be able to do that. So when you text us now, it's the full number, the 0550 to text your comments along to WGR.
Nobody works harder to bring you the latest Bills and Sabres news than WGR. Every story, every play, every day, all year round. Over the air, online, and on social media. Nobody works harder. Just like Losi and Ganji, workers' compensation and personal injury lawyers, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We are working on additional arrests today. We've called in our detective squad in our districts to start reviewing not only all the video surveillance, but also some pieces of evidence that's now been recovered in terms of some of the looting.
That is Buffalo Police Captain Jeff Rinaldo. Our sister station, by the way, has done a fantastic job. I should go over and tell them that. Has done a fantastic job over the weekend staying on the air live and local and covering everything that's been going on. So if you want complete coverage of everything from the weekend, our sister station, News Radio 930 WBEN. And you can always check out the coverage online at WBEN.com. It was a quiet night in Erie County, according to the county executive and the mayor of Buffalo. The protests were peaceful. There was a curfew overnight. It expired at 6 o'clock this morning. And County Executive Mark Polenkar says there's no plan to bring in a curfew for tonight at this point. To the world of sports, Major League Baseball Players Association has proposed a 114-game season to the owners. This is an important week for Major League Baseball. They're running out of time to try and get a deal done to get their season restarted and get in a truncated 2020 Major League Baseball season. We will talk a little bit more about this coming up at 9 o'clock with Radio.com baseball insider John Heyman. Some Major League Baseball owners apparently are in favor of canceling the season, thereby minimizing their financial losses. The NHL says players will be tested every day if when games resume. The NBA now has a date. They're planning to restart their season July 31st. Brad Keselowski won the NASCAR Cup race in Bristol yesterday. And Josh Allen has been throwing the football with Stefan Diggs and John Brown, and is working out with a number of Bills teammates. We have that story for you at WGR550.com.
There was a mild trolling of Bills fans in that one of the pictures posted of Josh Allen throwing to Stefan Diggs. Diggs is leaping and making a catch.
Thanks for making me laugh. Was he missing the deep ball? Was he throwing a bad ball?
It was just, you know, Diggs had to work for the ball a little bit.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was, you know, it's the kind of thing you see that tweet as a sports fan. You're like, all right, that's funny. It's funny. We can laugh, right? We can laugh at that.
I wanted a tweet of Josh Allen missing him on a deep throw.
Josh has a quarantine beard. I wonder if he'll keep it.
Hmm. How big?
Decent.
Bigger than yours?
He looks, you know who he looks like with the beard? Chris, that guy? Chris, who's,
from Saturday Night Live, Chris?
No, who's Star-Lord?
What is Star-Lord?
Guardians of the Galaxy guy.
Chris Pratt.
Thank you. He looks like Chris Pratt with a beard.
He's an actor, Dad. Don't give me that face.
No, what is Guardians of the Galaxy?
It's a Marvel it's a TV series show? Oh, of movies. Okay, gotcha. Part of the Avengers.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Didn't know.
That's all.
Chris Pratt. Might have heard
Chris
of him.
Chris Pratt.
Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for making me laugh with the judge. And maybe later, I'll get to this at some point. I wanted to play some comments from Mike Zimmer about Stephon Diggs. He had some good things to say about the former Vikings receiver and now a member of the Buffalo Bills. We'll get to that in a little bit. You know, it's quiet in terms of the world of sports. So we've been talking about everything that happened over the weekend. And if you want to share your thoughts, you can.
There is a thing with Major League Baseball that a lot of teams are cutting funding to minor league players and major league players are putting together a fund for them.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, first off, some minor league players were released. Like hundreds were cut last week, I guess. And other teams are deciding, like at the end of maybe May was a cutoff point, to stop paying their minor leaguers.
Mm-hmm.
Which, and these guys don't make a ton of money to begin with. Life is going to be really difficult for some of these guys. That's nice to see. It's a big week for that, for Major League Baseball. If they don't get a deal done this week, you know, you're going to reach a point, I think, where they're going to realize you're only going to get so many games in. They'd still have to have probably 4 weeks of training camp. So yeah. I think this is a very big week for them to decide what's happening with the fate of the season.
It's the Nationals that are doing this. Amina Kimes retweeting a Nationals pitcher who basically said that, I'll read you the statement he had. After hearing that Nationals minor league players are facing additional pay cuts, the current members of the major league club will be coming together and committing funds to make whole the lost wages from their weekly stipends. All of us were minor leaguers at one point in our careers.
Right.
We know how important the weekly stipends are for them and their families. Minor leaguers are an essential part of our organization. They're bearing the heaviest burden of the situation as their season is likely to be canceled.
Yeah, they're going to go. I mean, they'd be basically going a full year with no income. And again, their wages were not, you know, they don't make the money that the Major League Baseball players make. So they're going to go a full year without income. And then, you know, you would assume 2021 starts on time for them. And but that's some serious hardship for them and to be able to make it through. So that's good. I'm glad to see. I'm glad to see that that's being done. Sorry, I'm just reading a tweet. Dale Murphy? Did you see the tweet from Dale Murphy, the former Braves player?
No.
Okay. I'm just trying to make sure it's got a blue, you know, the blue circle and the check mark. So that would seem to be legit. He tweeted out, last night his son was shot in the eye with a rubber bullet while peacefully protesting for justice for George Floyd. His story is not unique. Countless others have also experienced this use of excessive police force while trying to have their voices heard. Dale Murphy, former Atlanta Braves great, tweeting that out. It was just retweeted from somebody that I follow, and that's why I paused just to make sure it was authentic, and it is authentic.
And he posted a picture as well.
Wow. I didn't see the picture. I'm just looking at his account. It is him, so it's got the check mark.
Yeah.
So we've been discussing that this morning if you want to share some thoughts. Last night wasn't as bad. Saturday night was a little more problematic. Not as bad as it's been in other areas. I know they had some issues in Rochester as well. Many other cities have had issues. There has been a shooting death in Louisville. One of the protesters apparently took a shot at police. Police fired back, and this gentleman was killed. There has been a lot of looting and fires and destruction across not just Minnesota but across the country. So here, Saturday night, there was some protest downtown. It never really escalated too badly, quite honestly. I mean, I know there was, I don't have a business downtown, so if your windows were broken and you had stuff stolen, it's far for me to say it wasn't that bad. But compared to where it has been in other cities, last night was also a relatively quiet night. There was a little bit of a fire in City Hall a couple nights ago. Apparently they have the person who threw the a box was on fire and he threw it into City Hall. They have it on video, so they're trying to find that person. But for the most part, Saturday night was not as bad as it's been in other cities, and last night was quieter. And we'll see, indeed, if there's hopefully a curfew-free night tonight from Erie County Executive Mark Poland Cars. But you can just lend your voice. You want to share an opinion. You want to share a thought. You want to just get into discussion. It's very, it's not easy to talk about. I know I felt uncomfortable all weekend knowing we were going to discuss this morning. But it is important to talk about it. It'd be great to get a solution out of this, but at least to share some voices and some concerns and to bring up the discussion. And again, to not stray from the point. So don't get upset. I didn't get a tweet from someone complaining about the looting. I did get a tweet about the Kaepernick kneeling down discussion and disrespectful. That's part of the problem. Don't get away from what the demonstration. Don't get upset at the demonstration. Remember what the demonstration was done to bring up. What is the demonstration about? What is the problem that they're demonstrating about? Don't lose sight of that. And I think that's really important to do during this whole process. And so we look forward to hearing from all of you if you can. If you want to spare a moment and join us, that'd be great.
I'll read you the Washington Wizards statement. You know, we talked about different teams are approaching this different ways. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, it comes down to the community you play in. If you are in L.A. or you were in Washington or you are in Atlanta, you know, different cities have different cultures and who knows. But the Wizards statement, they have a united statement from the players. And it's just, I think it's worth, you know, 2 years later from Colin Kaepernick's initial protest that brought a lot of light to this and brought a lot of discussion to it and brought, you know, really strong reaction from a lot of people. The Wizards statement says, I'll just read it to you. It's four pictures in frames, just like four on Twitter, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yep.
It says, we will no longer tolerate the assassination of people of color in this country. We will no longer accept the abuse of power from law enforcement. We will no longer accept ineffective government leaders who are tone-deaf, lack compassion, or respect for communities of color. We will no longer shut up and dribble. Like, this is...
I think it hits the issues pretty much dead on, right?
Well, it's one of the things that I just... I keep bringing it back to the whole, you know, the stick to sports thing just because...
Yeah.
It's just so important to point out that sports are, you know, as they're gone right now, they are integral in helping us move in directions. And sometimes I think... You know, we've talked about this before that, you know, you want a distraction, and I'd love a distraction. I'd love a NBA game tonight. But that NBA game tonight would have a political message for sure. You can count on it. Over in Bundesliga, a player scored a goal and took a knee for George Floyd. Like, wow. We would have these messages in sports. And you just feel like the conversations we would be having would be centered around sports, and maybe there'd be people saying stick to sports. Maybe that crowd has gotten less and less, you know. Maybe in the last 2 years, if it was 42% say stick to sports, or if it's 58%, maybe that number has dropped.
Yeah,
because people are more, I don't know, awake to the severity of the problems or the breadth of the problems.
You know, I was thinking
and how in a lot of cases these players have personal experiences, of course, and want to talk about this and want to continue to help their communities. Yet, was it Enes Kanter was out walking with the Boston Celtics or with Boston at least, not the Celtics. He might have been the only player there. I saw a couple other players. Maybe another Celtics player, I'm forgetting. But you're just seeing it. And I think it's important. I think people value that.
I was thinking in some way, shape, or form, even though it would be brought up at sporting events, I'm almost thinking, okay, maybe it's good that there's no sports right now. Because when we say
attention.
Yeah, when we say sports provides us a distraction, I think it means for a lot of people, because you don't want to know about the bad stuff that's going on, I'm not going to lie. There was a time, like I said, I watched the news. I knew what was going on Saturday. I was on Twitter, so I was well aware of what was going on locally. This is in the mid to late afternoon, whatever time the protests began on Niagara Square. It was daylight when they began, and then they later moved up Niagara Street as nighttime fell. So I was on Twitter. I was well aware of what was happening locally and nationally. Sat down after dinner, and I thought, okay, this might sound selfish, but I thought, I don't want to know about it right now. Hey, let's go watch Netflix. So I sat and I watched TV with my wife for about an hour and a half. And then I went upstairs and I turned on the news and I watched all the channels. I watched what Spectrum was doing on 2, 4, 7. I listened to the press conferences from County Executive Poloncarz and Mayor Brown. I watched the standoff a line of police had in a parking lot of a 7-Eleven on Niagara Street as protesters came up. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, my God, this is going to break out. This is going to be terrible. I'm about to watch violence live on my television here in Buffalo. And thankfully, it never occurred. And I honestly think if sports would provide an avenue for very high-profile athletes to continue this discussion, and that is a good thing, Jeremy. But I almost think, like, when we say we need the distraction, it's because we don't want to deal with the news. Like, you don't want to turn on the TV or listen to the radio and see and hear what's going on. But it's important that we do see and hear what's going on so the discussion continues and raises to the level where this stuff can be stopped. The statement from the Wizards was very well crafted. It was very well stated. They hit the points that need to be changed. And I think if sports was here and that distraction was there for some people, right, it has your full attention now. There is no game to go watch to say, you know what, I'm not going to think about this for 3 hours. I just want to watch this hockey game. You can't do that. And maybe that's a good thing because maybe it leads to more focus on the issues that are happening right now. Mm-hmm. Even though it's our business to watch games and talk about them on the air. And I do miss sports. In this one instance, maybe it's a good thing we don't have a distraction.
Yeah.
803-0550 to join us. Having said that, we'll provide a distraction at 8 o'clock. The show will continue. We're going to talk to Dean Blandino about some of the stuff going on with the NFL, with the 4th and 15, with the Sky Judge, and all the other neat things about NFL rules. So that's it.
Sprinkling in sports takes. The Sabres are bringing back their entire coaching staff.
Yes, that's right. I got caught up watching the Ralph Kruger Zoom call yesterday. A little surprised by that because, you know, special teams wasn't necessarily that good. There were some issues, the goaltending. Ullmark was good. Hutton was not. So I was a little surprised by that. Basically, I guess he attributed it to the shutdown and the pandemic, and this was a time for coaching continuity. I'll give Ralph Kruger the benefit of the doubt at this point. He's had half a season on the job.
He was a holdover.
He was a carryover.
Housley.
Yep.
And was here with Ralph, and they had one of the worst special teams units in the league.
Right. Yeah, penalty killing for sure. I don't remember where the power play finished. It had its moments, but the penalty killing was worst or second worst in the league. So I was a little surprised that he didn't want to tweak the staff a little bit. 803-0550 to join us. You can share your voice, your opinions on everything that had happened over the weekend and everything you were watching and listening to locally and nationally. You can use our toll-free number. It's 888-550-2550 here on WGR.
What happened was Buffalo came in and gave us all those picks, and we were up against it on the salary cap, and so we just felt like we could save some money, get a bunch of picks, maybe get a new, a young receiver like, JJ that we got. So, I wish him well. He's a good kid. He worked hard for me. He was really, if you said somebody was a pain in the butt, you probably wouldn't say him. So I've been around way worse guys than him. I think I hope he has a great career and finishes up strong.
That is Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer. He was on the Rich Eisen show talking about Stephon Diggs and thought those comments were interesting and why they got rid of Diggs and what Diggs was like to deal with from a coaching standpoint. And now, of course, Stephon Diggs working out down in Miami, Florida with Josh Allen. And some other receivers, maybe. Oh, yeah, we're in June, right? Today's the first day of June. I was going to say maybe next month. Maybe this month.
Hey, is your birthday
be a mini camp.
Tomorrow?
No, it's in August.
Is tomorrow or the next day?
It's August.
It's early June.
No, it's August. You must be wrong. I don't know. You must be confusing me with somebody else.
Is this where I'm supposed to guess how old you are? Because that'd be rough. We only work together.
That'd be rough for who?
We only work together for about 16 years.
I can never remember how old you are. Don't worry about it.
Okay,
you're 40, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the only reason I remember that is it's a good big round number. When you turn 41 later this month, June, you're in the 20s, right? June 25th?
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Okay. So when you turn 40, I guarantee in 3 weeks, I won't remember how old you are.
You are. I remember Bulldog interned for you. Which
yes,
is
he
my
did.
Best way of making it
he
sound
did.
Like
he interned
really...
for me in the. That would have been circa 94, like okay. early to mid 90s, 93, 94, 95, somewhere in there.
You are 57.
Today I am.
Tomorrow you're 58?
Yeah.
Okay.
Crap.
All right. I mean, it's 58. Oh, so I was right. Oh, there you go. Yeah,
you are right. Yes, you yeah. are correct. Yeah. You know what that means? It means I'm 1 year closer to retirement, and you're 1 year closer to not working with me.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what it'd be like to have another? Yeah. Can you imagine like what the day you get another co-host will be like the happiest day of your life? Like, oh my God, I went 20 years with that guy.
Yeah.
What are we doing about Howard? He's getting too old. Like that discussion that you have all the time with management.
By the time you retire, maybe we'll get the Sabres to be.
In the, should I mention the P word?
Of course, Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs will have.
Well, they will have won a Super Bowl.
Cemented themselves as the best quarterback receiver combo ever.
The Bills would have won a Super Bowl by then, before I retire, right?
Yeah.
And so we just have to worry about getting Sabres in the playoffs and not having a. I should probably look up what is the longest NHL playoff drought. Just for curiosity's sake.
I want to say it's 10 years. I've seen.
Oh, really?
This recently. The
you know what?
Oh. The Panthers of like the mid 90s had
yes.
about a. Into the 2000s had a 10-year drought.
And there was one other team that had a 10-year drought, right? So you might be right. Oh, yeah, I saw that over the weekend, too. Longest NHL playoff droughts. List of franchise post-droughts. Okay, that would show that to me. Thank God for Wikipedia, by the way. Oh, that's active. Okay, so here we go. What? Oh, postseason win. Last postseason win. Okay, that's like, not the what I was like. The Florida Panthers' last postseason series win. You know how long it's been since they won a playoff series?
94.
95, 96. The year they, okay. I think that's the year they would have gone to the finals and lost to Colorado. They've gone 22 seasons without winning a playoff series. However, guess who's third on the list? The Buffalo Sabres. Mm. So Panthers are longest, 22 seasons. The Leafs are second. They've gone 14 seasons without winning a playoff series. 2003, 2004. That would include some heartbreaks to Boston, by the way. Sorry, Leaf fans. So, yeah, the Sabres, Leafs, and Panthers have the three. They are the three longest streaks in the NHL. Nobody else has a double-digit streak of postseason series win droughts. Just Florida 22, Toronto 14, Buffalo 13. I will have to, and we're up on the break, and we're getting a Dean Blandino. I'll try and find the... longest playoff drought. You might be right. It might be 10 years, which is sad because that would mean the Sabres have a chance to tie it next season, which would be bad. When we get back.
They'll be a favorite to tie that next
yeah,
season.
Yeah, that's not good. When we get back, we will talk about NFL rules with Dean Blandino, Fox NFL rules analyst. You can still talk to us as well. We spent the first 2 hours talking about everything that would happen over the weekend here and nationally. And we'll talk sports when we get back, but we are here to listen to you if you want to share your call, your thoughts, your voice, your opinion. If you want to talk about it, we will gladly take your phone calls. 803-0550. You can text us, 716-803-0550. You can call us on the toll-free number, 888-550-2550.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.